Good morning, everyone. Welcome to church. We'll start right on time this morning. It's lovely to see you. For those who are listening in, it's a very special welcome to you, and thank you for listening in this morning. We here at Abbotsford Anglican Church are people who love God, who love Jesus, and we choose to live life God's way according to His Word, the Bible, and we invite you to come and meet with us of a Sunday and join with us. And if you're visiting us today, a very special welcome to you too. We'll all have a chance during the service just to turn around and say thank you and good morning very shortly. And if you can stay for morning tea afterwards and continue the fellowship, that would be awesome as well. Terrific. Well, today we're thinking about in our Bible's teaching time, we're continuing through the book of the Psalms, and today we're reading through Psalm 147 together. Last week, 146, the week before that, 145, and today we're thinking about how God can actually meet. There is no other than God that can meet our needs perfectly. Sociologists and psychologists say that the greatest needs that people need is that of security and significance, and there is no other that can give that perfectly than Jesus Himself. And we've come to know that, and we'll be reminded about the character of God from His Word, the Bible, and why we should actually praise Him, not only in our words and conversations, but in songs as well. So our sentence of Scripture for this morning is set aside, is great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for gathering us here this morning in obedience to Your Word, the Bible. We thank You for brothers and sisters in Christ whom we can share this time of encouragement and worship together with. We ask now that what we do in Your sight and in the sight of our sisters and brothers, Lord God, will be pleasing unto You, giving You glory, and may we enjoy living life Your way. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's begin by praising God. Our very first song is Come People of the Risen King, and on the musos on keyboard is Sam, Rosemary on guitar, and Tina is on singing. Let's stand and sing.
Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice. My
take a seat. I gather as we come to church each week, there are times where we just wish to be still, to be quiet, and to think on God. And other mornings when we come to church, we're just ready to get straight into it, to praise the Lord, because that depends on each one of us. We're all very different in where God is working in our lives. But we're just going to pause for a short moment just to think on our great God, why he's gathered us here this morning, and to thank him for so doing that quietly yourselves. And whatever it is that might be on your mind at this very moment that might be puzzling you or troubling you, just to give that to God before we come to a time where we can acknowledge our failures this week to God and to know of his assurance of forgiveness. So let's just pause for one moment. We've come together to meet with God and to take our part in the building of his church. Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. So let us acknowledge our failure to serve him as he deserves and return to the Lord with repentance and faith and praying this prayer together. Heavenly Father, you have loved us with an everlasting love, but we have often gone our own way and have rejected your will for our lives. We are sorry for our sins and turn away from them. For the sake of your Son who died for us, forgive us, cleanse us, and change us. By your Holy Spirit, enable us to live for you and to please you in every way, for the glory of your Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is our God's love towards us, those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. God therefore forgives you in Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for us. Amen. Give praise to the Lord, call on his name together, make known among the nations what he has done. Amen, indeed. I wonder what this woman here is thinking about. How would you describe her? Someone put out the hand or just call out? Sorry, Manita? Deep in thought, certainly deep in thought. Contemplative, yeah. She's got a slight smile on her face, hasn't she? So she's not sort of depressed, is she? Right? No, she's thinking deeply, yeah. She's thinking actually about God and in particular about God's love for her. So I wonder what two or three things she might be actually thinking about in regards to God's love. I gather she's thinking about Jesus. And Kay, what do you think? Being thankful, yeah. Being thankful for his love. Yep.
Being overwhelmed by the intensity and depth of his love.
Yep, being overwhelmed by the intensity and depth of his love for her. Feeling safe. Yeah, she has that sense of, even though she's got her, she's that sense of feeling safe and contemplative as she thinks on God and thinks on his love. Yeah, and she looks content. And that's one of the reasons why we actually have a confession in our services as Anglicans, in our Bible-based, is that we might that those who may walk off the street for the very first time and hear the gospel might know that they can be forgiven, and we who know the gospel and have been forgiven, know we fail him, can be forgiven and reassured of that as well. Now, this gentleman here, he's thinking as well too. He doesn't look as happy as... or as contented as the woman, what do you think he might be thinking about at this time? Might be. Well, she might be thinking. He might be thinking that. I wonder why she believes that. Although we can't.
How can you forgive what I've
done? Yeah. How can you forgive what I've done? Maybe. Or how can you love me? You know. Yeah. Well, that's exactly. I think, God, do you understand me? That's the question I'm giving him. God, do you understand me? Do you know what I need? And I think today, this is what we're going to be reminded from in God's Word as we do a kind of Bible study, because a number of you in the survey we did at the end of the year liked to maybe just sort of do a step-by-step through a verse, through a book or through a chapter or psalm in your survey that you told me. So we're going to do that today in our Bible teaching time. God, do you understand me? Do you know what I need? And the sentence of Scripture for today, kids, Erwin, if you've got, prick your ear up here, because this will help you with your activity sheet a little bit later on. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. And the word in the Hebrew for understanding there is not just knowledge, but his ability to know our needs. Okay. All right. How can I tell God that I love him? What do you reckon? How can we tell God that we love him? And here's this little boy. How can I tell God that I need him? Those things. What can we do? Rosemary, I'm going to get you ready to come up here now. We're going to sing a little song to you, a new song. But how can we tell God that we love him? And how can we tell God that we need him? What has he given to us to do? What has he enabled us to do? Pray. That's right. Okay, so we're going to sing this song through. It's one of Colin Buchanan's songs. It's called You Can Tell the Lord That You Love Him Anytime, Anywhere. I love telling my kindergarten kids a scripture. You know, when God, Erwin, you may remember this. I haven't taught all of you scripture. That's right. But I tell my kids at scripture at kindergarten level, I says, when you talk to God, you know what God doesn't do? He doesn't stick his fingers in his ears. He listens to you. And he answers your prayers in a way that's best for you at a time that he chooses. So let's listen in as we sing this to you. We're going to sing it through the first verse and the chorus, and then we'll invite you to stand with us and sing along with us. It has some actions.
Does anybody know it?
Who hands up if you know this one already?
Yay, oh, Anthony.
Good on you, Anthony.
Sing loud.
I'm this close to get you to come up and do the actions, Anthony. All right.
You can tell the Lord that you love him anytime. You can tell the Lord that you need him anytime. Thank him for his love and care. Shoot him up an arrow prayer. You can tell the Lord that you love him. Whatever you're doing at school, at lunch when you're kicking the ball, when you're chasing your mates all over the place, you can talk to the Lord of all. You can tell the Lord that you love him anytime. You can tell the Lord that you need him anytime. Thank him for his love. You can tell the Lord that you love him anytime.
So I think that's pretty easy to learn. So let's stand and we'll go back to the beginning. I know some of you won't be kicking a ball at school. You may be doing it at home with your grandchildren or your children as well, but think about what it means. You can do it anytime.
You can tell the Lord that you love him anytime. You can for his love and care, shooting up an arrow prayer. You can tell the Lord that you love him anytime. In the the middle of whatever you're doing at school, at lunch when you're kicking the ball. When you're chasing your mates all over the place, you can talk to the Lord of all. You can tell the Lord that you love him anytime. You can tell the Lord that you need him anytime. Thank you for his love and care. Shoot him up an arrow prayer. You can tell the Lord that you love him when you're happy as Larry, when you're full of joy, when you're blown out by the view. Give thanks to the God who showered his blessings on you. And you, and you, and you can tell the Lord that you love him any time. You can tell the Lord that you love him any time. Thank you for his love and care. Shoot him up an arrow prayer. You can tell the Lord that you love him. You can tell the Lord that you need him. You can tell the Lord that you love him anytime.
Well, let's do that right now. Let's say this little prayer together. With your kids there with you, thinking of your grandkids and your kids as well. Thank you, God, that you love us and care for us. Thank you that we can praise you and tell you all that we love you anytime. Thank you that you are always there when we need you and that you always hear our prayers. Thank you for helping us in the sad times and in the happy times. Thank you, God. Amen. Well, please turn around to the people nearby you. Walk out to the next pew and just say good morning. Welcome to church. The Lord be with you. If you've forgotten someone's name, tell them yours. Say hello. It's good to see you again. Welcome. Well, I'm going to invite Coral up to read the Bible to us. But before she does come up, let's pray for the reading of God's word and the hearing of it. Heavenly Father, we give us faith to receive now your word, understanding to know what it means, and the will to put it into practice. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
We're reading this morning from Psalm 147, which you'll find on page 626 of the Pew Bibles. Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble but casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with grateful praise. Make music to our God on the harp. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain and makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of the warrior. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. Extol the Lord, Jerusalem. Praise your God, Zion. He strengthens the bars of your gates and blesses your people within you. He grants peace to your borders and satisfies you with the finest of wheat. He sends his command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. He spreads the snow like wool and scatters the frost like ashes. He hurls down his hail like pebbles. Who can withstand his icy blast? He sends his word and melts them. He stirs up his breezes and the waters flow. He has revealed his word to Jacob, his laws and decrees to Israel. He has done this for no other nation. They do not know his laws. Praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thanks, Coral. Well, while we remain seated, let's think about how God has demonstrated that in his son, Jesus. If we had lived 2,000 years ago in Palestine, we would have seen God in the flesh. And so Paul writes in Colossians this statement of faith, this statement of belief about Jesus being God. And so let's stay seated and let's say this together. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Amen. Well, turn with me now in your Bibles to Psalm 147. Can anyone remember what page it was on? What number? 626. Well done. And it's in your handouts and your bulletin as you came in. So we're going to look at this little psalm together today, Psalm 147. Firstly, last week and the week before too, if I'm rightly, I mentioned that these last five psalms that make up Psalms 145 to 146, 47, 48, 49 and 150 have a particular name because of the reason why that how they start off and how they conclude. Can anyone remember? There's no chocolates, no rewards, no need to. I mean, it'd be great if you did. Praise the Lord, yeah. Yeah, the Hallelujah Psalms, right? Because they begin and end with praise the Lord. And in a way, as commentators have said, that's each of these psalms are kind of like a little micro version of our lives and take a part of our lives and start it, helps the Christian to think, to praise the Lord at the beginning and at the end as well. So there's that bookend sort of things. No matter what might be the situation or the need or what we might have forgotten or remembered, we begin and we end with praising the Lord. And so today we're looking at Psalm 147, and it's one of those Hallelujah Psalms, Praise the Lord Psalms. And it divides into three sections, really. You've got verses, well, four in a way. You've got verses 1 and 2, which is a bit of an introduction and a reason for why what's in this psalm is we should do. That's verses 1 and 2. And then verses 2 through to 7, and then 8 through to 12, 13 through to 18, and 19 to 20. That's not three parts, is it? It's more like five parts, all right? But the first part, first verse 1 there, let's look at it. Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting it is to praise him. Well, the first thing that we notice in this little verse here is that it's good to actually praise the Lord. And there's two reasons for why it's good to praise the Lord, particularly here, because it pleases God and it's fitting to praise him. So help, and it's, notice there, so it's the first thing, it's pleases God to praise him for who he is. All right. So instantly we're thinking, well, what is it about God? We're being forced to remember God. Day by day, it's so easy to forget who our God and his promises to us and our relationship with him. It's good to stop, read his scriptures, and remember what God says about himself, that we get the facts about who he is. It's good to actually then praise God. But notice also, too, another word, pleasant. Pleasant. It's how pleasant and fitting to praise him. Pleasant is a reference to us. It's like, and fitting, meaning it's good for you, it's good for me, it's good for the church. It's actually good for us. God has made us in a way to praise him. I think it's one of the most, must be the biggest frustration for an atheist is to, when they see a sunset or think of how good life is, have no one else to thank, you know, to think, all right? And so we know who to thank and to praise. So the psalm starts off by getting us to think about God, that it's good to praise him, and it's good for us to actually praise him. We get a benefit out of this. We get a blessing out of this. Well, what does it, then verses 2 and 3? Here we see the psalmist actually answering that question. Firstly, he gets them to look back at their history. Now, this particularly is for the Jew at this time. The psalm is written in a time after God's people has returned back to Jerusalem. Now, you may remember in your history of God's people, the Jews, the Israelites of the Old Testament, they were in the promised land. They were told to live life God's way. If they didn't, it would be taken away from them. And eventually that happened. The land was taken away from them, for they did not live life God's way, the majority of them. And they were exiled and into the lands and into Babylon. And so a time came that was prophesied and promised that one day God would return them back to Jerusalem, back to the land, back to the place where they came from. And so this psalm is a psalm that's written after that time. And so it's a late psalm. And the psalmist that's writing this is writing this in a late time in Israel's history. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. I don't know if there's any of us here who have been refugees or expelled from their land or or expelled from home and then returned back home again. How brokenhearted that is. And here they're returning back to the land, returning back to that and hearing God keep his promise. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. So the psalmist is reminding his readers here, remember what God has done for you. Look back. And remember who your God is. He's a God who keeps his promises. But for we who are Christians, we too may feel, as the apostles have described often, that we are in exile here. We feel like this is not our home. Our home is in heaven. Our home is to be with the Lord. And I know we long to be with the Lord, and we may feel like we're in exile here and described as such. The kingdom is with the Lord. And so we look forward to a time when Jesus will return and keep his promise and take us to be with himself and keep his promise. To look forward as we look back to God keeping his promises, he will keep them in the future. And then in verses 4 to 5, he gets the psalmist to now look up in thinking about his needs, right? And he says, he determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. Here I take it the psalmist is reminding us that the one who created the stars here, his understanding, his knowledge of all things is beyond our understanding. It's beyond limit. It's infinite. And he takes responsibility for what he has created. He names them. He's in a relationship. And it seems this, he's in relationship with what he creates. He just doesn't create and then forgets. He knows them, all the stars by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power to do this. His understanding has no limit. What does that say to you? How often do we feel like that gentleman in the screen up here? Does God know my needs? Does God know what I want? Does God know what I'm going through? He knows the stars. He names them by one. And remember what Jesus said about the ravens and the flowers. You are much more worth than they, and yet he clothes them and he feeds them. And you are much more special than they. All right, great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limits. What's the psalmist doing here? What's God doing through the psalmist, through his word? He's getting us to remember who our God is, who God is, for we so often forget. He now gets us to think about it. What does this mean for us? Well, look, verses 6. The Lord sustains the humble, but casts the wicked to the ground. He calls upon a drawing of the line. He says, where do you stand in relationship with God? He will sustain the humble who come to him. But those who don't, they'll be cast off. Therefore, how are we to respond to a God who's like this? Verse 7, sing to the Lord with grateful praise. Make music to our God on the harp. We haven't got a harp, we've got drums, we still haven't got a drummer yet, but we might find one soon. We can do all these things on Psalm, but we can sing to the Lord with grateful praise for who he is. We now turn to verses 8, 9, 10, 11 and 12. He gets us to look up and to look around to the things that God has made. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain and makes grass grow on the hills. All right. I remember someone telling me when I was a child and just showing me a leaf. And he said to me, could you make this? And I said, no, I could try. No, I can't. I can't make these things. Look around, the psalmist said. Look at what God has created here. Look what he's placed you in to enjoy. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain and makes grass to grow on the hills. If you look out your windows over here into my backyard, my grass is up to my knees at the moment too. Anyone want to mow my lawns? Get a gardener. Then look at verse 9 there. He provides food for the cattle. Well, Nessie's not needing the grass, all right? The chickens might, okay? And for the young ravens when they call. And I take it that this is what the little verse that Jesus picked up on when talking to his disciples, when they were stressing out as to what they were going to eat, where they were going to go, what they were going to wear, what life was going to be like. He refers to this little verse, which I'll read to you later on. Think about it. What does that mean for us, the psalmist is saying? Verse 10 and 11, his pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of the warrior. The Lord delights then in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. Isn't this such a countercultural, worldly statement? All right, it's saying, I mean, the world tells us, look, you know, don't use God as a crutch. Go through life. You can do it. You can do anything, really, if you put your mind to it and your heart to it. All right, not everyone can do everything. All right, even though their heart may be in it. And it's saying here in verses 10 to 11 here, look, trust in God, right? I remember hearing a great proverb the other day, trust God and make sure you tie up your camel, all right? Trust God and make sure you tie up your camel. In other words, yeah, trust God. Don't just trust in your own strengths and what your own abilities. Fear him, respect him, acknowledge him in all your ways and he will make straight your path. Put your hope in his unfailing love, not merely in your own ability to provide. God knows, his understanding has no limits. He knows what you need before you even ask it. You can shoot an arrow prayer up to the Lord. Verse 12, how do you respond? Well, extol the Lord. That's greater than praise. Extol the Lord, Jerusalem. And here you see now it moving to not just the individual, but to the corporate, God's people together. Jerusalem, praise your God, Zion, all of you. When we come, our relationship with Jesus is a personal one, yes, but it's also corporate. When we come together here, we should come together not just merely personally to be praising and worshiping God, but doing it as we do, together, praising God as his people for who he is and what he has done. Verses 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. Again, now he gets us to, he's got them to look back, he's got them to look up, he's got them to look around, and now he gets them to look ahead, to look ahead. He strengthens the bars of your gates and blesses your people within you. He grants peace to your borders. Now, again, understanding that from being the Jew in Jerusalem at the time, they're now secure in that land, in that place that's there. But our security, our significance, our hope for the future is en Christo, in Christ, right? He has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has strengthened you in Christ and blesses you, his people, within him. And he grants peace now with God around your borders. We can see the application for us as Christians here. And he satisfies you with the finest of wheat. Brothers and sisters, occasionally, you know, I have to think, does he satisfy us with he doesn't meet us with all that we want, but he gives us all that we need, doesn't he? And sometimes all that we need, he gives us more. Like over here. Sometimes you've got that ability, okay? He can give you more. And if he's given you more and lots, it's for a reason, to share, all right? To give it around and to share it around. He strengthens the gates and bars. He blesses your people within you. He grants peace to your borders and satisfies you with the finest of wheat. It's a lovely word, satisfied, isn't it? Content, satisfied. Thinking on the goodness of God, who he is and what he does and what he will do for us is satisfying when we let it rest in us and the Spirit work within us and remind us and trust in his word. He sends his command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. Of all the verses I found amazing and encouraging, it's this little verse here. It may not seem much, but when we pray, it's not like God sits up there and says, I'll get around to answering that. I'll think about it, all right? He sends his command to the earth and his word runs swiftly. This is your God in relationship with you, all right, and with us. He is a God who is not standoffish, who waits, who just, you know, are they good enough yet or are they ready enough? He is ready and he commands to the earth. His word runs swiftly. Right? It's get it done for him. Get it done for her. In that time, in this time, for them. Verses 16, 17 and 18, commentators have understood this in different ways. He spreads the snow like wool and scatters the frost like ashes. He hurls down his hail like pebbles. Who can withstand his icy blast? He sends his word and melts them. He stirs up his breeze and the waters flow. Some commentators think that this is again just a reference to the seasons. And there's a season and a time for everything under God, under the heavens, Ecclesiastes. It's just again reminding us that after winter comes spring and so forth, and then summer and then autumn and then when it goes again seasons. But there are also seasons in our lives. And I actually take it like most of the commentators take it as, is that we may perceive that there are good times and there are bad times in life as well. And he spreads the snow like wool, because in Jerusalem, snow very rarely came, and if it did, it would be pretty cold, all right? He's able to send his word and melt them away. He stirs up his breezes and the waters flow. He brings good out of bad. I take it. I mean, maybe I'm reading a bit too much into this. But through the difficult and the sad and the troubling times and the hardship times when we wonder whether God is actually meeting our needs, and is he there, he is able to send his word, melt those worries away, and in time flow the water that we need out of the snow, out of the hail. Bring the good out of the bad. Lastly, verses 19 and 20 are the climax to this psalm, really. He has revealed his word to Jacob. his laws and decrees to Israel. He has done this for no other nation. They do not know his laws. Here with the psalm ends with the psalmist reminding them of Jacob. And those of us, again, who may know our Old Testament, Jacob was no saint, all right? Jacob was no saint. But Jacob is the person who's referred to here. He has revealed his word even to someone like Jacob. And he will do that for you and he'll do it for me. But it's more than just God doing this out of obligation. He's wanting to know that he's done this. He does all this. He provides all this. He meets these needs. He's concerned for his creation. He's responsible for it, not out of obligation or out of duty, but in order to have a relationship with his people. And he has done this for no other nation, for no other people, but for you, for God's people. And if this doesn't make you feel special in God's sight, significant and secure, and knowing that you are of great value to him, with the cross as well, as we think on that, then nothing will provide that. He has revealed his word to Jacob, his laws and decrees to Israel. He has done this for no other nation. They do not know his laws. But you do. And you have been allowed to, and I have been allowed to know how to know God and to know how to live life in relationship with him. A God who provides and meets our needs. I take it the Psalm 147, is a reminder to us of who our God is when we forget, as so often we do, to stop and think, I may not have everything I want, but I have everything I need in Christ, in God. This is our God, how great he is. He is worthy of our praise. He's worthy of being sung about. He's worthy of being extolled, not only privately and in the shower or wherever we might be seeing, but when we gather together, his people. Praise the Lord. Let me read to you verses Luke 12. Jesus has gathered his disciples. Think of yourself there with the disciples and Jesus speaking to you. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens, they do not sow or reap, they have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you, O little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Let's say this psalm together, shall we? Praise the Lord, how good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble, but cast the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with grateful praise. Make music to our God on the harp. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain and makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of the warrior. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. Extol the Lord, Jerusalem. Praise your God, Zion. He strengthens the bars of your gates and blesses your people within you. He grants peace to your borders and satisfies you with the finest of wheat. He sends his command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. He spreads the snow like wool and scatters the frost like ashes. He hurls down his hail like pebbles. Who can withstand his icy blast? But he sends his word and melts them. He stirs up his breezes and the waters flow. He has revealed his word to Jacob, his laws and decrees to Israel. He has done this for no other nation. They do not know his laws. Praise the Lord. Well, let's sing unto the Lord a new song. Let's sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, tell of his salvation day by day. Majesty and honour are his, strength and beauty, glory and righteousness. Great is the Lord and deserving of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. Please stand. How can I tell the Lord that I love him? How can we tell the Lord that we love him? How can we tell God that we need him? What's the answer to that? Remember the song? We can pray. We can shoot him up an arrow prayer. And so we now come to a time of prayer together. And if you'd like to join with us in the prayers, please do so by saying Amen as we pray at the end. Firstly, the Lord be with you and also with you. Let us pray the family prayer together that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Well, young man's going to come up now and continue our time of prayer together. Thanks, young man.
Hello, good morning. Today's prayer, we will start praying and just praising, and then pray for for Australia, our country, and the world, especially Israel today, and then we'll pray for the missionaries and finish off with the local prayer for local church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, you remain faithful forever. All the glory and praise to you. How good it is to sing praise to our God. Hallelujah. Thank you for sending your Son Jesus to us. He's the bread of life. He's the light of the world. He's the good shepherd. He's the resurrection and the life. He's the the truth and life. He's the source of our hope and giver of life. Praise the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. We pray for our country, Australia. We thank you for the political, social, and economic stability and prosperity we enjoy in this country. We pray for the leaders of both federal and state government, as well as our local governments. We pray that they may lead the country with wisdom and truth and without corruption. May their decision bring on order, peace, and equity, and bear good fruit for the people of this country. Lord, may you grant the leaders the wisdom and courage to deal with challenging issues. We pray for the economic management of this country. We also pray for those who are vulnerable to homelessness and poverty. May you be the comfort and hope for those who feel hopeless and who suffer from mental health issues. We pray there is a true reconciliation in people's mind and heart with the First Nations people, people with different colors and languages, people with different values and beliefs. Thank you that you bring healing to our nations. In the name of Christ, amen. We take this opportunity to bring our prayers for Jerusalem and all the people of Israel. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for the people of Israel to come to know their Messiah, Yeshua, for their borders to be secure, for Jerusalem to be protected from being divided. We also pray for Israel's leaders to be blessed and lead well, so Israel's citizens can live in peace and many will come to salvation. We pray for the believers in Israel to be strengthened with power in their inner being, so Messiah may dwell in their hearts through faith, and that they would know the love of Messiah. We pray for God to keep a watchful eye over his people and to bind the schemes and resources of their enemies, so they can do them no harm. May you grant peace and reconciliation in this country that you care so much. In the name of Christ, amen. We thank you for all missionaries around the world who faithfully and tirelessly serve you. We praise you for our missionaries we support here in Abbotsford, the Blairs, Thomases, Pharisees, the hospital, police, and prison chaplaincies, and outreach work such as scripture classes. May you bless their work to continue to bear fruit and reach out to those who do not know you yet. Please help us to remember to pray for them. Lord, you say the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. We pray that you will stir our hearts and minds to have compassion on those who do not know you, and help us to hear your voice and be ready to respond to your calling. In the name of Christ, amen. Father, we thank you for our local church, your body. Thank you that we are your people and this is your church. We thank you for all your faithful servants of this church who serve you and the people every week. We praise you for the leadership of this church and thank you that your words are faithfully taught. We thank you for the Bible study groups, play group, outreach work, and women and men's ministry. Please bless the children of this church, and both young and old. We take a moment now to think of those who are not well and need our prayers in silence. Lord, may you grant your healing and comfort to all those who are suffering physically and mentally for your glory. We thank you that you do not slumber nor sleep and are always close to those who are weak, sick, and needy. We pray that you will stir the hearts and mind of the people in this local community to be curious and interested in finding more about you, Jesus. Please bring them to our congregation. Help us to keep our eyes on you and be faithful till your coming. We pray that, Lord, thank you that you use the ordinary people like us to do extraordinary things in your kingdom for your glory. Help us to walk more closely with you and love you more dearly. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Let's say this set prayer together. Father of heaven and earth, hear our prayers and show us the way to peace in the world. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Well, as Young Land prayed, this year we'll be particularly thinking of our missionaries and supporting them. There's a table up the back. Again, the Thomases, the Blairs, and also the Farris's, the BCA, and any of those local missionaries that you may be personally contributing towards and praying for. We'll also be mindful through the year, Lord willing, of the work of hospital chaplains by guest speakers coming and praying for them and supporting them. Prison chaplains, defence chaplains, police chaplains, school chaplains, and of course at the end of the year we'll be involved with Toys and Tucker again. And then during the year, when it comes to more College Sunday, we'll be mindful of the college in which we train our women and men to be faithful ministers of the gospel in this diocese and beyond, and more College Sunday. Men, on the 28th of January, don't forget, we have our men's first activity together as a men's breakfast, 8 a.m. to 9:30. Please sign up so we know numbers that are coming, and the cost for that is $5 to come along to that. That's on the back table, the mission table. And thank you for giving towards ministry in this place and beyond. You can do so during the year via the offertory into the box and envelopes, or preferred through the online, and the details are on the back of the newsletters. After church today, we invite you to come and pray. Tony and Carol will be happy to come and pray with you if you have any particular personal needs that you'd like to pray for, have prayed for today. Please join us for morning tea, and thank you for those who have done morning tea for us. When you've grabbed your morning tea, go out into the wonderful sunshine, into the shade, and continue the fellowship and remind each other of how great our God is. And so I wonder what our memory verse is today. Does anybody know? Do you know what it is yet, Erwin? Did you work it out at all? Or maybe we might be able to help you. Remember, God, do you understand me? Do you know what I need? What is it, Erwin? Big voice. Yeah, it's on the screen up here, Erwin. We'll say it with you, all right? Here we go. Great is our Lord, and mighty in power. His understanding has no limits. Does God understand me? Remember the picture back up here? Does God meet my needs? Does he know what I want? Does he know what I need? Does God love me? And the answer is yes. His His great is our Lord, mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. Be patient, wait and see. Let's stand and sing how great our God is. Rejoice in your greatness and power, your patience and your love, your mercy and justice. Enable us by your Spirit to honor you in our thoughts, words, and actions, and to serve you in every aspect of our lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.